Hey, greetings. This is Brother James at DontParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, coming to you again, hoping to share some truth and edify you, encourage you in the Word of God. We all need that, don't we? Let's talk about today. You can do nothing without Christ. You can do nothing without Christ. What a powerful, truthful statement from John 15. It's true. We need Christ. He's our Lamb. He's our life. He's our hope of eternal life to come. Without Him, as Paul says, we are most hopeless. Now, as we walk through this faith life, we're always encountering people. As I street preach, witness, online, they reach out to me. There's always this big debate that rages. It's usually between the evangelicals who cry out, faith alone, grace alone. You don't have to really do anything. They claim that we true saints, born again by the gospel, are living in holiness, that we're working our way to heaven because we're striving to do good works. And they call us heretics, works-based, all these things. Nothing could be further from the truth. And I want to talk about this chapter, John 15, that illustrates it all perfectly for us. Now, I want to say right up front, I preach all the time that we are saved by Christ's perfect righteousness, by the gospel, by faith in Him, that we receive through His perfect work, death, burial, and resurrection. We could never work our way to heaven. I teach that all the time. But there is this call all throughout God's Word, Jesus' own words, the call and the command for those who have His righteousness, that are born of Him, are to obey, to do, to strive, to labor, and have good works unto God as our much fruit, proving we are His people. Let's go through John 15 together and discuss how it shows we are to be about doing good works unto much fruit. John 15, we're going to go 1 through 8 or 9. Starting at verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, if you have any kind of agricultural background, if you know about vines, let's say a grapevine, good grapevines produce a lot of fruit. It's just a fact. And because we know God is good, think about this, any vine person who is of Him is going to what? Be overflowing with much fruit. Doesn't it make sense? The Word is able, the Spirit is able, the Father is able, the Son is able. For no reason someone grafted into Him should not be producing much fruit. Let's keep going. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So isn't that beautiful? He says that everyone that bears fruit, He purges it. Maybe we're thinking of pruning, nurturing, and that's to bring forth more fruit. But what's the warning? The ones that don't bear fruit. If you're claiming to be of this good vine and you're not producing hardly any fruit or very little fruit, you're going to be cut off because you don't belong to the good vine. Remember, good vines, their branches produce much fruit. This is about being connected to Christ and His Word. We're going to see that. You can't be a branch and sit around and do nothing. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. This is awesome. Jesus tells us that we are clean by His Word. What does this mean? Well, it would be the doctrine and instruction that He's given us in the Word how to live. We're clean by it, right? We're clean by living by it, which is included the gospel and His death, burial, and resurrection. So if that's true, the opposite must then be true. So unless you're in His Word and obeying it all, you're not clean, are you? No, what you are is you're covered with a bunch of willful sin. And there is no redemption from willful sin that we won't repent of and give over to Christ. So what a glorious thing. He cleanses us. He cleans us. The Bible says we get washed, cleansed by His Word. He is the Word. By His blood, by His sacrifice. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. So we know that we abide in Jesus by abiding in the Word. He is the Word. And it's so self-explanatory. A branch without a vine can't produce anything. It'll dry up and wither and die. So we can do nothing without Christ. We can't save ourselves. I could never work enough to make it to heaven because I'm just a branch. I need a vine, right? Doesn't that make sense? So these people that tell you you're working your way to heaven, it's so foolish because it's absolutely impossible to even be a practical theology. Now, in this verse that I'm about to talk about, it gets to the main point of my teaching. We're to abide in Christ. We can't produce godly fruit on our own. We need our vine, Christ, as I said. He saves us. He makes us godly, holy, and fit for heaven. Can't do it without him, but we still must do. Instead, all of these false evangelicals, they say, you don't have to work. You don't have to produce fruit. You just believe and you're guaranteed heaven. No, really, by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, they should be saying, because you are of his good vine, go produce much fruit. It's the evidence you're of the good vine. Do you see the difference here? Lazy branches are not of a good vine, right? This proves how false their easy believe, faith alone, grace alone theology is. They sit producing little when Jesus says, produce much. In verse 5, let's read it. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So that's all the point that I was trying to get at in this whole teaching. Notice he says much fruit. Apple trees that have three apples are not good apple trees. They get cut down and thrown away, right? If you are part of a good vine, you should be overflowing with good, much fruit. Because of the Word and the Spirit and his work in you. Again, we could do nothing without him. We need the vine. We still have to work to produce fruit. He does it through us. We're a tool. We're an extension of him, right? We're created in his image. If he's good and does good works and holiness, if we're creating his image, we should be doing good works and holiness. Amen? So the command goes out to his people to produce much fruit. Well, what is the much fruit? Is it him doing it all for us? Or is it us striving in our daily life to obey, to keep sound doctrine, to keep instruction, to come out of the world, come out of false religion, to leave pride and vanity in our flesh? That's the good works he's called us to do, right? We're created to do this, aren't we? Two verses come to mind. Matthew 28:20, he says, teaching them to obey everything he commanded. That's our charge, right? Jesus didn't just say, sit around and watch me. He said, teach them to obey. Everyone should be obeying the commandments. And Ephesians 2:10, you know, this comes right after Ephesians 2:8-9 that says, you're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man can boast. They love that verse. And I agree with that verse. We're saved by the glorious grace of God and what Christ has done. Working, no branch can work its way to heaven without the vine. That doesn't mean the branch doesn't still work. You hear what I'm saying? Ephesians 2:10 says, we were created for good works. Why do these people all fight doing good works when the Bible says that's the reason God created us for good works? Now, I need to state a fact here. Vines create branches to create much fruit. I teach this all the time. It's a partnership. As the branches need the vine, we can do nothing without him. And the vine, it's a good vine, he's a good vine, beckons us to grow and obey and walk in holiness and produce much fruit. Or there's a warning. Be cut off and thrown in the fire. What you're looking at is a covenant. Remember Israel? God said, you'll be my people. I'll provide. I'll protect you. Forsake your sin and keep my commandments. A covenant. I'm the vine. I'm a good vine. I'll cast you forth as a branch. Produce much fruit. And you remain and abide in me. Don't produce fruit? You're cut off. You're a false branch. It's not going to make it. So it's only natural. You know, God created this whole natural system we see. No mother nature. It's all of God. And this natural system of vines and branches and fruit. It's so beautiful. It's the natural result of God's Spirit at work in us. Then salvation to come if we endure, right? So we best take heed. Romans 11, 21 and 22. For if God spared not the natural branches, he's talking about Israel, take heed lest he also spare not thee, you evangelical Gentiles. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. So God's word always interprets God's word. John 15 talks about the vine and the branches. You don't produce much fruit, you get cut off. What is Paul saying? You better stay in his goodness. What's his goodness? Producing much fruit, right? He's good. He's going to produce much fruit through us. Or what happens to you? You will be cut off. So much for once saved, always saved. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and he's withered. And men gather them up and cast them in the fire and they are burned. Once again, so much for once saved, always saved. What a dire warning about being a branch and not doing good works unto God. This is the second warning of fruitless branches being cut off and cast away. Jesus doesn't mince his words here. He doesn't say, hey, just hold on, branches. I got it all covered. I did it all for you. I'm dying on the cross. I'm shedding my blood. You don't have to do nothing. No, he shows that we're to flourish in him. Can't do it without him. Every branch needs a vine. And we're to produce fruit obeying him, keeping his word, keeping his ways, walking in the Spirit as evidence we are of him and of his word. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is what we're called to do as true saints of God. Now, evangelicals and these other people that argue about this, I would venture to tell you they are selfish and set on getting to heaven. Jesus is their ticket to heaven. That's all they want. And what they do is they miss the glorious work that God has for them to do here, to glorify him, produce much fruit. Now, all they want to do is go to heaven. That sounds like a lazy servant, doesn't it? We'll get to that. Working for God takes effort. Striving, denial, flesh killing, losing family and friends, losing your standing, losing a career, humble, low service, the world hating you, stripping down your flesh, serving God and serving others. Yeah, that takes a lot of work and effort. That's bearing much fruit. People that just want a ticket to heaven, they lack the fruit of a true holy saint. What they really are is bad branches and are in danger of being cut off. Verse 7. If ye abide in me, hold on. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So again, he's talking about abiding. And this is, we know, producing much fruit as we abide in his word, in his ways, in his doctrines. It's keeping his word in our lives every day. That's how we do it. We don't go off and follow man-made pagan traditions, Christmas, Easter, evangelicalism. We don't abide in Christ by just believing any more than you would abide in a marriage by just saying, I do, on a Saturday, and then you do nothing for your spouse, with your spouse, about your spouse, and you expect to have a marriage. No, you must live committed, loving, faithful, enduring, striving for that marriage to work. Amen? Absolutely. It's a covenant. We're in a covenant. He's the vine. We are the branches. We work together to produce much fruit. What a glorious covenant we have. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. So here, lastly, Jesus mentions much fruit again. And here, what does he say about the fruit? Proves you're a disciple. Yeah. You can believe, but you're not a disciple. Even the demons believe and tremble, James says. Doesn't mean you're a disciple. A disciple believes and obeys and produces much fruit of holiness and obedience. So true disciples are headed to heaven, but they believe, they abide, they keep the word, and they're doing good works that they're created for, producing much fruit. Evangelicals and these other people just want to believe, make it to heaven, and say Jesus is doing it all for them. This is just plain heresy. No scripture supports it. They have to rip pages out of the Bible to make it true. And on Judgment Day, they are going to be so sad and terrified. Also in that verse, did you notice, Jesus said, God is glorified by our fruit. Saints, this is the very reason that a true child of God does desire to do much good works, producing much good fruit, walking in holiness and obedience, stripping down every false way, avoiding all evil. Why? It glorifies our Maker who sent Christ to save us. Anyone who claims Christ but does not leave all sin, false ways, all carnality, pride, vanity, worldliness, to strive to obey in holiness. Let me ask you a question. Does that sound like a good vine and a good father with a Holy Spirit working in them? No, it doesn't sound like it to me at all. It sounds like dead, false, man-made religion built on a bunch of Luther lies that's not going to get you to the kingdom of God. So at this point, I think it would be fair if I list all the verses that tell you that you can sit back, relax, you have to do very little, Jesus has done it all for us, and you have nothing to do but sit back and wait for heaven. Go enjoy life, doing as you please. The truth is, there are no such verses at all. It's a lie, again, of man-made religion. It's a lie of Satan, ultimately. Did God's word really say that? That you have to obey and do good works? Satan, the father of lies. We are called and created to do good works, to obey, to go preach him crucified, to strive in holiness, that means to be set apart for him, to come out of all of our false ways, to leave the world, lose family, lose friends, lose our old religious system, so that we may bear much fruit for his glory. Without him, we can do none of it. The branches need the vine. No branch can work its way to much fruit without the vine. That's how we can stay humble and not prideful. No matter how much good works I do, somebody could come up and say, wow, you're doing so many good works. You know what? I would never get prideful. Well, I guess I could if I'm not careful. But what I always tell myself is, I always tell them that. You know what? To the glory of God, because I wouldn't be doing any of this without my vine, without Christ who came for me and redeemed me. So it's all about the vine and the branch working together. It's not about just getting to heaven. That's going to be our reward, to go be with him. We want to go be with him. We want to work and labor for his kingdom, to lift up his name and give him glory. Maybe take others with us, not just sit around and wait to go to heaven as we live in sin and worldliness. That's not a child of God. I have a question. What ungrateful person does not work their hardest every single day to obey a master who bought him the greatest gift in the entire universe? Grace, forgiveness, and eternal life through Christ. What kind of ungrateful person, does not strive their hardest? 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I can't even take glory in the works I do. I'm using the body that God owns. I'm using the spirit that God owns. I'm walking on the earth that God owns. I'm breathing the air that God owns. If I have a right mindset, how could I have any pride in the works I do? How could I ever expect that I'm working my own way to heaven? How ridiculous, how foolish. Anyone who thinks that you could even begin to believe you could work your way to heaven without Christ and the Word and the Spirit, they really have no clue about the Word of God and what it takes to get to heaven. Yeah, because they're just sitting back looking for an easy ticket. But they are so far from the truth, deceived and self-deceived. Last point here. Have you ever pondered these evangelical people, all these other people who just believe they do very little? Now, they may do some things, but very little. They're not striving daily in holiness and obedience. They're not doing all they can for what God has shown them and given them. I have a question. Are they not just like the guy with the one talent in the parable of the talents who did nothing? Stuck the money in the ground. And when the master showed up, he was angry, called him a sluggard and slothful, and bound him up and cast him into outer darkness. Hey, I don't want that to be said of me. I don't want that to be said of my house or the saints I'm united to or anyone else at all that I know or come in contact with. I would urge every one of you that are not fully confident you're born of Christ, born of his Spirit, striving in holiness to much fruit every day. I'd urge you to repent. See the gospel at don'tperish.com. Get grafted into the vine, Jesus. You need him. You can't do nothing without him. Via the gospel and his perfect work. Go look it up at don'tperish.com. Then get to work for his glory. Grow your faith. Grow your walk. Grow your holiness. Grow your obedience. Grow your righteousness. Jesus said your righteousness must surpass the Pharisees. We need his perfect righteousness, then we must walk in righteousness. Paul tells us, if we serve sin, we serve death. If we serve righteousness, hey, it's life, is it not? Romans 8, walking in the Spirit is life. Walking in the flesh is death. Don't fool yourself. If you're not today zealous for good works in all your ways, that means holiness and obedience, how you act, talk, look, dress, live, who you associate with. Titus 2:14 tells us to be zealous for good works. If you are not that today, you may not be born of this good vine at all. You may be a withering branch. Your only destiny then is judgment, wrath, and hell, separation from this glorious God. I love you. I live my life to serve Christ, to preach and teach. I want you to know better. That's why I teach. That's why I preach. That's why I speak up. Wake up. Wake up to the gospel. Test yourself. Again, at don'tperish.com. It's on every page. Let me know I can help you in the faith. Get going in Christ. Striving in good works. Building up much fruit. Abiding in the vine. Proving you're a branch of the Most High. Hey, you need him. You can do nothing without him, nor can I. No branch can produce much fruit without the vine. But the vine calls to the branch to get going, abide, and produce much fruit. Hey, thanks for listening. This has been Brother James. Again, don'tperish.com, the teaching blog. We're pouring out every day. Sisters' blogs. Sisters' scriptures for the ladies. Getting ready to go back on the gospel road soon. We love the Word of God. We love the Lord. We know we need him. We can do nothing without him. We don't teach work salvation, but we know that works and much fruit come with a transformed life and a godly, obedient heart set on the kingdom of God. Is that you today? Test yourself in the Word. Let me know how I can help you. Again, thanks for listening. Hey, I hope the Lord lets me come back to you again. Till then, may God be praised.